Revelation 6. Up till now, everything in Revelation has been a looking. It was looking at the seven churches and then a looking at what was happening around God's throne. And now, from Revelation 6 onward, is the action of the book. And the vehicle of the action in this first action chapter is they're going to be seated, that's the four horsemen of the apocalypse. And
it's almost like a cliche.
I know.
Horsemen of the apocalypse.
And it's a cliche that is always dramatized in whether it's William Blake or the Byron or the thousands of paintings that have been done about it. The problem is that everybody that I'm aware of, including any so-called Bible expositors, literalize the parable. And so anyway, let's see if we can try to figure out what Revelation 6 says. We're probably not going to get very far, but we'll try.
Okay, wait. They had the book. Nobody could open the book. It was a bad deal. And then the Lion of Judah was there. It was a lamb.
And the lamb opened the book.
And then he's just opening the book now. Okay.
Right. And then the 24 beasts. I mean, the four beasts fell down, and then as soon as they did, then the 24 elders fell down and worshiped. And so, again, the idea, remember, that in the book of Revelation is the only time, I think it's the only time, that anyone within the temple is seated. In the descriptions of the temple elsewhere in the scriptures, no one is ever seated, which is interesting when you think about calling someplace the throne of David, because they're never seated. So anyway, and I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals. Now we're about to open seven seals. And the seventh seal will call for seven trumpets. And the seven trumpets will call for seven bowls. And the seven bowls will be seven vials of wrath and plagues poured upon the earth. And this corresponds directly to this, to the plagues in Egypt, except remember, of the 10 plagues in Egypt, 3 of them Egypt and Israel participated in. Then the last seven plagues in Egypt, it was only on the Egyptians.
So that's what
these seven plagues, which are contained in the seven bowls, are the seven plagues that were revealed here when we studied Passover.
You know, you'd think some people would have gotten a clue. They're exactly the same plagues.
Well, if they did, I haven't been able to find anybody that talks about it.
Oh,
so.
I haven't either. But you'd think.
And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, so he's going to open the first seal now. And I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder. And one of the four beasts, now these beasts or creatures or cherubs, some translate it the cherubim with these four faces of the lion, the man, the eagle, and the oxen. And I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." Again, the exhortation is always to hear. If you have ears to hear, let them hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Once you hear, then the exhortation is to come and see it, come and view. And the only place that you can come and see from is eternity. You can't, in other words, eternity is the only place where you can view Revelation. If you try to view Revelation within time, then you'll get all these asinine interpretations. Do you know how many antichrists have been named since Christ's death?
The Russian antichrist.
You're the latest one.
And I saw.
Thank you.
If you didn't see, forget everything I'm going to say from now on. If you didn't hear, forget everything I said last week. And I saw, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat on him had a bow. And a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Anybody know who that white, who that is?
Christ.
Anybody else? Okay. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given him that was sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, Come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, Come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him. And the power and power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until our fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. If we're very fortunate, we'll get that far tonight.
When they say killed, they mean really literally killed.
Killed. Okay. Now, the first thing to note is that it is the Lamb that opened the seal. And the Lamb of God is Christ. And so Christ is the one that's opening the seals, so therefore, by definition, he is the author of everything that's to follow for his purpose. Now, the seven seals represent and encompass the story of God in all of time. You'll read the modern Hal Lindsey types say the seven seals represent what God's going to do from the rapture onward, which is so that those dispensationalists believe that the rapture will occur before these seals are opened. In fact, that's in many cases their evangelistic technique. They create these huge scenarios, and different people have created movies and different music and stuff to try to make everybody afraid of what's going to happen after the rapture, so therefore they have to accept Jesus as their personal Savior now so that they'll be raptured and they won't, and this won't happen. Anyway, the seventh seal that we'll find out, it's going to be over here in chapter 8, however. The seventh seal is the seventh trumpet, and the seventh trumpet is the seven bowls of the seven vials of the wrath and the plagues of God. When all those sevens are finished, then time shall be no more. Now, can you understand how convenient it is to believe that something will have to take place in time or in history or in the future before all this stuff happens? Can you believe how quickly the human mind would go to that kind of a heresy so that
kind of get a second chance that way?
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay. Now let's start going on.
It's like if all this stuff happens and you think, okay, now I can be obedient.
Right. Now go to Somebody else besides those two, go to... Would you read to Job 29, 39?
Job 39.
Well, the next things that we're... The next few verses are going to have to do with these four horses. Okay? Now... Horses are now, you know, like they're kind of harmless. They're little pets. They're something you. But at the time of this, in the Middle Eastern mind, horses were like symbolic. They were greatly feared. They were the armor, the protection, the whole bit. And so we're gonna in Job 39, we're gonna get a little glimpse of what horses meant to the mindset of this writer. Okay? So start in verse 19.
Hast thou given the horse strength? Hast thou clothed his neck with thunder? Canst thou make him afraid as a grasshopper? The glory of his nostrils is terrible. He paweth in the valley and rejoiceth in his strength. He goeth on to meet the armed man. He mocketh at fear and is not affrighted. Neither turneth he back from the sword. The quiver rattleth against him, the glittering spear and the shield. He swalloweth the ground with fierceness and rage. Neither believeth he that it is the sound of the trumpet. He saith among the trumpets, Ha, ha. And he smelleth the battle afar off, and the thunder of the captains and the shouting.
Okay, now what they're talking about here is these are not like the delicate little Arabian horses that were bred for speed. They're talking about something like the Clydesdale horses that were trained even to the point of running into fire.
War horses.
They were war horses.
They were bred to be aggressive. In fact, they were, had problems with them biting other people.
Right.
And,
and so their whole training and breeding was, they were like big pit bulls. So, let's go to
The horse would fight just like the man would in battle. I mean, they were trained to kick and gouge and trample and all that kind of stuff.
Okay, go to Zechariah chapter 1.
One, 7.
On the 24th day of the 11th month, which is the month Sebat, in the second year of Darius, came the word of the Lord unto Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo, the prophet, saying, I saw by night, and behold, a man riding upon a red horse, and he stood among the myrtle trees that were in the bottom, and behind him were there red horses, speckled and white. Then said I, O my Lord, what are these? And the angel that talked with me said unto me, I will show thee what these be. And the man that stood among the myrtle trees answered and said, These are they whom the Lord hath sent to walk to and fro through the earth. And they answered the angel of the Lord that stood among the myrtle trees and said, We have walked to and fro through the earth, and behold, all the earth sitteth still and is at rest. Then the angel of the Lord answered and said, O Lord of hosts, how long wilt thou not have mercy on Jerusalem and on the cities of Judah against which thou hast had indignation these 70 years? And the Lord answered the angel and that talked with me with good words and comfortable words. So the angel that communed with me said unto me, Cry thus, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I am jealous for Jerusalem and for Zion with a great jealousy, and I am very sore displeased with the heathen that are at ease, for I was but a little displeased, and they helped forward thee of affliction. Therefore thus saith the Lord, I am returned to Jerusalem with mercies. My house shall be built in it, saith the Lord of hosts, and a line shall be stretched forth upon Jerusalem.
Okay, the idea, again, is that the horses were connected in the minds of the writers from Zechariah all the way to John with this, and Job, with this idea of power and strength and victory. Okay, go to Zechariah 6. 1-7, 8.
And I turned and lifted mine eyes and looked, and behold, there came four chariots out from beneath two mountains, and the mountains were
between
two mountains, and the mountains were mountains of brass.
What did I say?
Beneath. And the in the first chariot were red horses, and in the second chariot black horses, and in the third chariot white horses, and in the fourth chariot grizzled and bay horses. Then I answered and said unto the angel that talked with me, What are these, my lord? And the angel answered and said unto me, These are the four spirits of the heavens which go forth from standing before the Lord of all the earth. The black horses which are therein go forth unto the north country, and the white go forth after them, and the grizzled go forth toward the south country. And the bay went forth and sought to go that they might walk to and fro through the earth. And he said, Get you hence, walk to and fro through the earth. So they walked to and fro through the earth. Oh, okay. Then cried he, I thought, that's not a good place to stop. Then cried he upon me and spake unto me, saying, Behold, these that go toward the north country have quieted my spirit in the north country. And the word of the
Lord. That's all. Okay.
Wow. It means they've quieted my spirit.
It was the north country.
They talk about the north in Revelation a lot, eventually, right?
The north north is always toward evil. South is always toward the mystery.
So it's
east is always following. East is always toward that which you've left behind, which is for now forbidden, and west is always toward
the mercy seat.
Now, when we study the offerings, we'll see that various of the offerings are offered on different sides of the altar. Now, the reason that they brought How does it say? They brought peace to the... They quieted his spirit in the north.
Yeah.
Let's get into that later. Okay. Again, what we've got is the idea that these horses are symbols of strength. The first horse was white. Now, white is not only the symbol of strength, but it's the symbol of a conqueror and a victor. Now, most scholars and most Bible expositors identify this man on the white horse as Christ in this vision. On his head, though, was a crown. In this word case, the crown is the word Stephanos. There are two words for crown in the scriptures. One is Stephanos and the other is diadem. The Stephanos crown is always connected with some reward for accomplishing something on earth. The diadem is always concerned and connected with rightful rulership and sovereignty. So by the fact that he has a Stephanos on, we know it can't be Christ. Okay?
So it could be somebody like John the Baptist or something?
Well, let's look and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Now, the revelation, in Revelation 19, let's go so we can see the contrast. We're going to see a lot of stuff similar, but now we see it from a different view. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And they said, Alleluia. And her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he saith unto me, Write, Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said unto me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, diadems. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, and with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of the Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, Come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, and small and great. Anyway, we'll get to that later. But do you see the contrast? And the white horse in Revelation 6, there's a man sitting on him with a Stephanos, a crown that can only be gained on earth. And he has a bow, but he has no arrows. And he goes forth conquering and to conquer. And in Revelation 19, which is no doubt that it's Christ, he has many crowns, all of them diadems, which means he is the rightful ruler and heir of all things. He has, rather than a bow, he has the sword that cometh out of his mouth. Okay? So we know from these contrasts that the first horse and horseman cannot be Christ. But what then is it? It's the instead of Christ. It's the Antichrist that's coming forth first. He's the first of the four horsemen of the apocalypse. Can you hear that?
Oh, so the white is like a trick. Kind of like
it's a trick.
He clothed himself as an angel of light.
It's a trick. Blah, blah, blah. It's a trick.
In my study Bible, it says a rider on a white horse representing the false priest peace which the Antichrist will bring.
Which Bible is that?
It's a...
Ryrie?
No, it's Zophites. How do you say that?
Z-O-D-H-I.
It's a Greek Hebrew.
Great.
He has a Strong's dictionary in the back.
I can't even read it.
Well, look in the frontispiece.
Oh, yeah. The Spiros Zophites.
Never heard of it. That's great. Crystal gets the point.
Spiros Zodiates, THD, is the guy. Spiros.
Never heard of
him. Maybe you'll meet him when you go.
Maybe you'll meet him.
Yeah, he's great.
Good job, Spiros.
I mean, a lot of the stuff that we study, he has written. It follows in the footnotes too.
That's great.
Pretty cool.
We'll have to get me one of those.
So this, the non-Baptist, so that this, the crown, you know, when you took this to 19,
he had the crown underlined, and then I can go back and he gives like a lexical aid. But the crown over here wasn't, in Revelation 6, wasn't underlined.
Great.
2 points for Crystal.
Yeah.
Okay.
So what's the bow with no arrows?
He can do nothing.
Well, let's just ask Crystal.
Cool.
He can point at you, like, in terms of accusing
you. He causes you to fear. He causes you to...
Put your eyes on yourself.
But he has the appearance that he's coming forth to conquer and to conquering and to conquer. Now,
I don't know. For some reason, having a bow and no arrows really makes me happy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's just like, oh, shut up! You don't have any arrows.
Well, he also has. He roars about like a lion too. But he has no teeth.
His power is in the fear. Isn't making
his only fact. Power is in the fear. His power is in the fear and the fact that he can make you feel separate.
Which is fear.
Ooh. So that's his only. That's his only function.
That's the only time we would keep from saying something is because we're afraid of what the response would be, or afraid of the. Whatever. Yeah. Afraid of what would happen next.
Okay, the first horseman then was on the white horse. He goeth forth conquering and to conquer. He has a bow with no arrows, but he's impotent.
Just runs around being
but if you believe him, then comes the second horseman. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, "Come and see." And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. Now,
so these have the same seals we're opening by our understanding. It is.
And it's all a domino effect.
Another thing about the bow is kind of like a bow is something that you use. Far away, something like pot shots or, a sword, you have to get right up there.
Okay, now this tyrant never rides alone. The tyrant always has with him the three other horsemen. You got it?
Which one's the tyrant? The white?
The white. Okay. The leader guy. Now, the red horse. And unto him was given a great sword. Now this is really kind of neat. In the Greek, the normal word for a great sword, the kind that, Philip of Macedonia and all these guys, Alexander the Great, was, the word for that was rhamphia. And it was a large sword that everybody see. They wore it externally. You saw it. You knew what it was, and it was a mighty sword. I mean, it could it could cut through steel. I mean, these were. We don't have swords like these anymore, but that's not the word that's used here. It says it's a great sword, but that's not what it, the word here is. Makaria. Yeah. And that's the word that's a technical word for the sword that's hidden somewhere. Mm. The little dagger, the stiletto, the thing that's used as a weapon of an assassin or a terrorist. No, it's not a rapier. The rapier is a. This is a little sword that's used for hidden, cowardly things.
It
has nothing to do with defending.
Like a spy weapon.
It has to do with secret murder.
A Judas sword.
But when you go into fear, that's what you do.
Has to do with secret murder, okay?
Judas because he was deceived.
And the red horse's power was that he should take peace from the earth. Now again, it has nothing to, trust me in this one. There's not going to be four big horses running around the world. There's not going to be these four monster horses riding in the sky. This is a parable, a metaphor for what's going on inside. So the first of the four horsemen is you on the white throne. Mm-hmm. I mean the white horse. And it's all your grandiose ideas going forth to conquer and to conquer. You've got all the plans of the universe going forth conquering and to conquer. You're going to take care of this, you're going to take care of that, you're going to do this, you're going to do that. And once you open that door, then following, automatically following that, is the red horse. And in order for you to conquer and to conquering and to conquer, the red horse follows. The first thing he does is take peace from the earth. And once there's no peace, and in order to follow the plans of the tyrant, by definition, there has to be murder, hidden murder. With the machia, you have to kill anybody that gets in your way, killing by discarding. How many people in your life have you murdered with a hidden sword? You do it by leaving them. Understand? I don't think you believe me.
No, I was just thinking about you do it not just by leaving him. I mean, sometimes you do it openly. I mean, murder.
Well, but yeah, but that's not hidden any longer. Then that's another phenomenon.
Well, I mean, but you decide when you're not in peace. You know, there's something wrong already. Either there's manipulation or there's
Is it possible to leave someone and not murder them spiritually? So when the Jews came out of Egypt, they murdered all the Egyptians when they left? Spiritually?
It doesn't say they murdered them. It says they destroyed. When the Jews left Egypt, it says they destroyed it.
They also destroyed all the Jews that were left?
Doesn't talk about the ones that stayed there because they liked their life there, does it? What the Talmud does. You think everybody that was named the name of Jew came out? But no, this is primarily the murder that's hidden, that no one else sees. This isn't the slaughter that... what we're talking about here are the four horsemen of the apocalypse, are the four... the manifestations within you. Once you reach a position in which there is no peace.
When you say leave them, can that also be akin to like withdrawing in your mind, or you start withholding, or things like that, that you just pull back away from whatever it is?
Well, withhold something from someone is the scriptures say that means you hate them. And the inevitable result of that hate is murder. So you first withhold, and then by definition, eventually you will leave. You know what? I think I don't want to continue on this tonight because it's too important that I want the others here. But I just want you to have a taste that the four horsemen are they're not something that's going to happen external to you. There's something that has happened in all of time, and there's something that is happening now. Okay? So we'll study the black horse and the pale horse when there's more people here. But it's really important.
It would be kind of great.
You know, whenever you don't prophesy, I mean, it automatically there is no peace.
Right.
He goes away. Mm-hmm. And then you leave.
I was thinking about what you said at the table. You said, you know, I'm afraid I won't be forgiven. And that fear takes root.
Well, that means that. Well, what happened is you sat. The white man and the white horse came into your world. And then the man and the red horse. But fortunately, you saw it in time, so the horses 3 and 4 didn't arrive.
And that's just basically repentance is just where you have to go through all those.
You destroy the horses. Does everybody understand a little bit?
Yeah.
Take a big oil real quick.